الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أما بعد. So we begin tonight, my noble brothers, the first class together in Masjid al-Tawheed. Tonight's class is on the book Akhlaq Hamalat al-Qur'an. Akhlaq Hamalat al-Qur'an. The manners of the carriers of the Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an, those who are carrying the Qur'an in their hearts. But before we begin, proceeding from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah, that whoever did not show thanks to the people, then he did not show thanks to Allah. I would like to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him first and foremost. نحمده سبحانه وتعالى ونشكره على نعمه الغزيرة ونسأله سبحانه وتعالى المزيد من فضله. And then I would like to thank the brothers in Masjid al-Tawheed for their courtesy and their kindness and for their help, particularly the brothers in the Idara and particularly the Imam. May Allah preserve them all upon good and upon khayr. And may Allah increase all of you in good in this life and in the hereafter. And may Allah make us from amongst those who cooperate together upon piety and righteousness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us from those who love each other for His sake. As'aluhu subhanahu wa ta'ala bi asma'ihi al-husna wa sifatihi al-ulya an yaj'alana min al-mutahabbina fihi wa lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala al-muta'awinina 'ala al-birri wa al-taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows that in my heart, even before I met you brothers in the Dora, I want to come here. I want to come to this community and be in this community with the brothers in this community. From what I heard from a good friend of mine, he used to always encourage me. He says, you have to go to Stone Mountain. So after hearing this, and from this brother, he used to always encourage me to come. And after I came in the door, I wanted to come even more, alhamdulillah. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly, I thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, for this opportunity to come and to read with my brothers and to study and to learn the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my brothers in Masjid al-Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia. May Allah increase all of us in good and in khayr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all safe from the fitna, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm upon His straight path until we meet Him and He's pleased with us subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we begin, musta'ineena billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, talibina al-awna minhu tabaraka wa ta'ala wahda. We begin asking the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking His aid and assistance to do what is pleasing with Him. The title of the book, Akhlaqu Hamalat al-Qur'an. Just the title of this book is amazing. Akhlaq Hamalat al-Qur'an. The manners of the carriers of the Qur'an. Al-Hamala. Al-Ladina yahmiluna kitab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'maluna bihi. Yahfadunahu. Wa yatafaqahuna fihi. Wa yafhamunahu. Wa ya'maluna bihi. Wa yad'una nas ilayhi. Hum hamalatul Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions about the people of the Qur'an. Al-Ladina aataynahumul kitaba yatlunahu haqqa tilawatihi. Ulaika yu'minuna bihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that those who we have given the book, they recite the Qur'an, they recite it the proper recitation. These are the ones who truly believe in it. يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. They recite it the proper recitation. We will see, and the author will mention, from this proper recitation, it doesn't just mean التلاوة, القراءة, rather التلاوة, الاتباع, to follow, to recite it properly and to learn how to recite the words in the huruf of the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to learn how to follow it and to follow its meanings. So the people who truly believe in the Quran, they're the ones who know the meanings and know how to recite it, and they know how to follow it and to apply it. Akhlaq, they have akhlaq. يَتَخَلَّقُونَ بِأَخْلَاقِ الْقُرْآنِ يَتَأَدَّبُونَ بِمَا أَدَّبَهُمْ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. They discipline themselves with what Allah has disciplined them with in His book, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Akhlaq, حَمَلَتْ الْقُرْآنِ. The author of this book is a very famous author from the scholars of the Salaf, Salaf al-Salih. He is not only a famous author, من المصنفين, but also he is al-muhaddith and a great imam in the Sunnah. He is a great muhaddith and scholar of hadith. And we will see that this particular text, and in general, all of the works of al-Imam al-Ajurri rahimahullah ta'ala, they are all musnad. يعني كتبه مسندة. He يروي الحديث بإسناده. هو إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن دونه من الصحابة والتابعين. This author, he is from the narrators of hadith. You will find him in the chain. In this particular book, in his other works, whenever he mentions a narration, or excuse me, before that, whenever he mentions an issue or a mas'ala that we will discuss, for example, the virtue of the Qur'an or the virtue of the people of the Qur'an, he will mention the mas'ala and then he will mention, it was narrated to me by so-and-so, that so-and-so heard so-and-so say, so that so-and-so had heard so-and-so say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. This is the manner of this particular author. So this book is from the Al-Kutub al-Musnada, fi babi adabi al-adab al-islamiyya. يعني بالخصوص أداب القرآن وحامله. Specifically the manners. These are the books that our deen is based upon. They go back to this, the Quran and then the Sunnah. Where do we get the Sunnah from? From the books. From which books? The books that are musnada. The books that are related to us by chain, that we are able to determine the authenticity of it, like the Kutub al-Sitta. This is particularly in Hadith, Kitab al-Bukhari wa Muslim. وَأَبِي دَاوُودِ وَالتِّرْمِذِي وَابْنِ مَاجَةَ وَالنَّسَائِي أو النسائي وَابْنِ مَاجَةَ. These books, the authors, they narrate them with chains. The narrations are found with the chain of the author. Likewise, there are other books other than these books that are specific from the Ummahat al-Sitta. There are other authors that narrated likewise with chains. From them, al-Imam al-Ajurri rahimahullah ta'ala. This particular Imam, he was born in the middle of the 200s after the Hijrah, 260, 270 in this area right around here. And the author, he died, rahimahullah ta'ala, so that we know the era that he lived in. He died in the year 360. What's the year today? 1440. How many years ago? 1,080. Naam, over 1,000 years ago. This man, he was alive, and he died, rahimahullah ta'ala, over 1,000 years ago. So this is a classical text. This is from the books that are considered usul with this regards. And fundamental books that are relied upon, and that the ulama who came after them, they relied upon the likes of these books, and the likes of these narrations, and the likes of these authors and their efforts. 360. His name is Abu Bakr. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn ibn Abdullah al-Ajurri al-Baghdadi. Or al-Baghdadi al-Ajurri rahimahullah ta'ala. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn. If we can remember these two, this is good for knowing his name. To remember the third one, Muhammad ibn al-Husayn ibn Abdullah al-Baghdadi. Meaning he's from Al-Iraq, from Baghdad. Naam Al-Ajurri, another place from in the area. There are other ulama. There are two more ulama of the Salaf, and also two more ulama of Ahl al-Hadith. They died in the same year, 360. from the keys to memorizing the dates of the Salaf and the when they were alive and the likes like this is from putting the ones together. For example, Al Imam Al Tabarani. He has a book that is a great book of hadith. Al Mu'jam Al Thalath. He has three books: Al Mu'jam Al Saghir, Wal Awsat, Wal Kabir. Al Imam Al Tabarani, a great scholar of hadith. He died in the year 360. Another great scholar of hadith, his name is Aram Haramuzi. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Aram Haramuzi is mentioned that he's the first of the ulama of hadith to collect the science of the different sciences and different types of mustalah hadith in one book. So we can see that this particular imam, he lived in a great era, an era of many ulama and the people of hadith. And this is the era of al-riwayah, asr al-riwayah, the era of narration. So the way of the people of hadith is that they would mention what they believe and how they act with narrations, with chains of narrations. This Imam Al-Ajuri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's from Baghdad. But in the year 330, 30 years before he died, he made Hajj. He made Hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Whenever he was in Mecca, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was amazed at Mecca. عجبته Mecca. And he made dua and he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him to at least live in Mecca for 1 year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his supplication and rather he lived there until the rest of his life. And not only that, this great Imam, Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, rahmatullahi alayhi, he became from the teachers in Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And this particular work, he dictated this work to the students in Al-Masjid Al-Haram in the year 354. How many years before he died?
6 years.
Huh? Six years. 6 years before he died. This is an indication that he lived up until the last years of his life, and he with a sound mind and a sound intellect, busy with that which is beneficial, busy with that which is good and beneficial from the knowledge, and benefiting the Muslims by way of the knowledge. So he made imla. Imla is when an individual, the teacher will sit and he will dictate to the students and they were right behind his speech. يُمْلِئُ عَلَيْهِمْ هَذَا الْكِتَابَ كَانَ أَمْلَأَ أَوْ كَانَ يُمْلِئُ هَذَا الْكِتَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي هَذِي السَّنَةِ 54 و300. In the year 354, he's sitting in a Masjid al-Haram, dictating this book to the students. So the book, it begins, I will mention the methodology and how inshallah we will study the book. Because how the book begins, it begins in a manner, as I mentioned, with isnad and with chain. And so not only does the author, he narrates with a chain to the people he is narrating from, but this book reached us by way of isnad. This book also reached us by way of isnad. So not only do the narrations inside the book that the author narrated himself have narrations, but the book itself, it has a sanid, a chain of narration. Likewise, the book itself, it has a chain of narration to authenticate the ascription of the book to the author. How do we know this book is really from Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala? Because it has reached us by a chain of thiqat that was narrated to them. And it was narrated to them, and narrated to them, and narrated to them until it reached us in this manner. And this is the case. And this is the case previously likewise with the other books of hadith. You will find that they are narrated by chain. Not only did the authors, they narrated their narrations in the books by chain. After that, the students of knowledge and the mashayikh, they narrated those books to their students by chain. So after the sunnah was gathered in the major books of hadith, like Bukhari and Muslim and other than that, then these books were transmitted to the ummah with chain until it reached us today. The great effort that the ulama of the salaf have put forth for us to be able to be upon clarity in our deen today, for us to be able to know what is correct from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what is not correct today, from their efforts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with with them and to accept from them their efforts and to have mercy on them and to forgive them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who love them. And to make us from those who love the people of hadith and to love the ulama and the ulama of the salaf. So the author, he's going to begin with the chain. For our classes together, inshallah, we're going to delete the chain. It's going to be summarized. We don't want to go into reading the chain. It's going to take a bit of time. And then it's going to take a lot of background information to understand the way the chains are narrated and the summarization of the words and the likes like this. This requires some background knowledge with regards to the sciences of hadith. So we'll skip that part and we'll just go directly. For example, I will mention that Imam Al-Ajurri, he said with his chain to Abi Hurairah like this, and we'll summarize. So the people who are following along in the book and the reading, they'll know to skip the chain from the beginning of the hadith where there's a number all the way to, for example, the companion or to the tabi'in. If you don't know the difference, it'll be the last narrator. Sometimes it might be the last two for a particular reason if one of the narrators is asking the other a question or the likes like this. But in general, we're going to erase the chains of narration. And I will mention the chain of narration like this. Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, the author, he mentioned his chain of narration to so-and-so. And then we'll just benefit from the narration to sort of summarize. So we don't go into the details of discussing the chains and the narrators of the chains and the likes like this. This is more detailed information. And inshallah, maybe someday we can get to that. But for these classes, this will be the matter. And likewise, a reminder that this particular text, it doesn't have a written explanation. It's a classical text, and as far as I know, there's no written explanation. And as far as I know, there's no written translation. Likewise, but I can inform the brothers, particularly the brothers who understand Arabic. Alhamdulillah, Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he has an explanation of this book in 18 classes, 18 recordings. And you can find them in his website. And I advise the brothers who are able to understand these classes to benefit from them. And they are highly beneficial. And with that being said, a lot of the commentary or some of the benefits and the commentary from Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, I have taken them down and we will benefit from these likewise. In these classes, from the commentary of the great scholar, Sheikh Abdul Razzaq, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. And likewise, before we go into the book, I just want to mention that the Quran itself is a book of adab and akhlaq. And the Quran is a book of tarbiyah, it's a book of cultivation and manners. Rather, we will see that the whole entire deen, it is adab, it is akhlaq, that the deen is adab and that the deen is akhlaq. So we say, what is adab? We have the word adab, al-adabu, and adab, or al-khuluq, wal-akhlaq. Al-akhlaq is the manners of an individual and how he carries himself and how he moves and how he speaks and how he deals with the people. And even before that, how he deals and how he cooperates, how he deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's akhlaq. تَتَعَلَقُ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. There's manners that are related to Allah. وَأَخْلَاقُ تَتَعَلَقُ بِالنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And manners that are with regards to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَأَخْلَاقُ وَآدَابُ تَتَعَلَقُ بِسَائِرِ النَّاسِ. And there are manners and etiquettes that are related to the rest of the people. To the rest of the people. So the deen is a deen, this deen, deen al-Islami, the deen al-Haq, is a deen of adab and manners. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 852. He mentioned in the explanation of Sahih Bukhari in the chapter of adab, Ibn Bukhari has Kitab al-Adab. He mentioned al-Hafidh, al-Adabu isti'malu ma yuhmadu qawlan wa fi'lan. This is the meaning of al-Adab. Isti'mal ma yuhmad, to use that which is praiseworthy in speech and in action. So it's understood from that likewise, from the etiquettes and from the manners. So this is what manners is, according to Ibn Hajar rahimahu ta'ala. To use that which is praiseworthy with regards to speech and with regards to action. So likewise, understood from that, the opposite is understood, to leave off that which is not praiseworthy from speech and action. The actions and the speech that are blameworthy, or that are foul, or not becoming, or not befitting. Leaving this off likewise is from the adab and from the akhlaq al-jamila al-hamida. So then to general like this, and to have good speech that's praiseworthy, and to have good actions that are praiseworthy, and all of the dealings, this is considered adab. As I mentioned before, حَفِظَكُمْ اللَّهُ, this religion is adab. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned an authentic narration narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. This hadith is found by Al-Bukhari in a book called Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. You got, the brothers are studying now. Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he mentioned it here. Likewise, Imam Ahmad and other than them from the ulama of hadith, they mentioned this narration, the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And in one narration, صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ أَوْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that I was only sent to perfect the moral characters, or the moral conduct. I was only sent, like the reason why I was sent, now, to perfect the good and noble manners. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. The noble manners, the noble etiquettes. Naam? Because of this, with regards to this narration, Al-Tahawi, he has a book called Mushkil al-Athar. Mushkil al-Athar. He died in the year 321, from the same era of the author. He mentioned that this particular hadith is an indication that the entire deen is manners. And he used the proof and the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal whenever he praised his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. نعم, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily, you are upon a high level of manners. Allah mentioned this about his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And verily, you are on a high status of manners. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned with regards to this verse, he said, "Ay, ala deenin azim, ala khuluqin azim, ala deenin azim." Meaning the whole, upon high level of manners, meaning upon a high level of deen. And he had a great religion and great way of life. This is the way of this verse is understood by the Salaf. That the deen, it is manners. That the deen, it is adab. The whole deen, ad-deen kulluhu adab. The entire religion is etiquettes and manners. الدين كل إنك لعلى خلق عظيم أي دين عظيم. This is what Ibn Hajar, Ibn Abbas and رضي الله عنهما, he mentioned with regards to this verse. He mentioned this with regards to this verse. That verily you are on a great status of manners, meaning upon a great deen. Upon a great deen. So likewise, Ibn Al-Qayyim, also from the ulama of hadith, but he's from a much later generation. He died in the year 851. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, Al-adab huwa ad-deenu kulluhu. Fa'inna satra al-awrati min al-adab. Wal-wudu'a min al-adab. Wal-gusla janabati min al-adabi. Wa-tatahura min al-khabathi min al-adabi. Hatta yaqifa bayna yadayhi la tahiran. He said that verily the whole entire religion, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, the whole entire religion is manners and etiquettes. The whole entire religion. He said verily covering the private parts, this is from manners and etiquettes. And to make wudu, this is from the manners and from the etiquettes. And to purify and cleanse oneself, taking the bath of the sexual impurity, this is from manners and etiquettes. And to purify and clean oneself and one's clothing from filth, this is from the adab. This is from the adab. He said, so the individual, he can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of purity. حَتَّى يَقِفَ الْعَبْدُ أَمَامَ رَبِّهِ طَاهِرًا. And so that the individual can stand in front of his Lord in a state of purity. In a state of purity. In a state of purity. Now, this is all from the manners. This is from the deen. This is from the deen. He says, وَلِهَذَا
كانوا يستحبون أن يتجمل الرجل في صلاته للوقوف بين يدي ربه.
And because of that, and he understanding this, this manners right here is the deen that the salaf they used to like to one would adorn himself, meaning wear the best clothing and wear the best perfume and be presentable in the best manner whenever he prefers to stand in salat. Standing in salat. That's because he's going to stand in front of his Lord. And this is a very great benefit that we should take heed about and that we should not be heedless with regards to. And we've seen and I have experienced seeing before and other masajid that some brothers, aslahahum Allah, they will come, for example, for Fajr in their pajamas. This is not befitting. This is not from the adab. Alhamdulillah, if the awrah is covered, then the salat is accepted, inshallah, if it's performed properly. So he fulfilled the condition of satr al-awrah. But it's not befitting for a person to come to the obligatory salat in the houses from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand in front of Allah in this great obligatory act, which is the greatest action and greatest obligation after the shahadatain, to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pajamas or in the clothes that he went to sleep in or the likes like this. And knowing that if he were to go out to eat, for example, just in a restaurant, not to mention to go visit somebody important, how he would take care of himself and dress himself and beautify and adorn himself because he doesn't want to present himself for people to see him. He will be shy from the people seeing him in this manner, then he should be shy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَقٌّ يُسْتَحْيَ مِنْهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that verily Allah has more right that one would be shy to be in front to be shy from. Allah has more right to be shy from. So we wouldn't want to come in this manner. Like he's saying, like this from the adab, like this, كَانُوا يَسْتَحِبُونَ, meaning the salaf. They used to find it very encouraging, or it was highly recommended for them to beautify themselves for salat. To beautify themselves for salat. Now, so likewise, if a person, maybe he has a job, it's difficult, then maybe you can carry along with him a thobe in the car when it's time for the salat, even if he's not in the masjid. He put the thobe on, covering up the garment that is not any befitting or it's not beautiful. But even if one had to pray in it, as long as there's no najasa on it, his salat is accepted. But a believer, he should always strive harder to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell in his heart he has bashfulness and shyness that he would stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator, in a manner that he would be shy to stand in front of the creation. In a manner that he would be shy to stand in front of the creation. This is all from the adab. Ad-deen, kama qala Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, kulluhu adab. The religion, all of it is manners and all of it is etiquettes. And in reality, we see, particularly in our time, and even particularly in our lands, that what a lot of the Muslims are missing, and particularly with Ahl-Sunnah, alhamdulillah, missing the aspect of etiquettes, and the aspect of the proper manners, and the proper way to deal with people and each other, and the proper way to deal with the family. Naam? And the like. So it's very important, and rather, the Salaf, they used to have great concern. They used to have great concern for knowledge, and they had great concern likewise for manners. It's even mentioned that Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, his mother, Imam Malik, he died in 179, rahimahullah ta'ala. The great Imam, Imam Malik, Imam Dar al-Hijrah, it's mentioned that he mentioned that whenever he was young, that his mother would dress him up and put a turban on his head and send him out to the scholars of hadith, go and learn from them their adab. And he would dress him up good and the proper manners, and then send him out and tell him, go learn from his manners. Go learn from his manners. Go learn from his manners. And even has been mentioned likewise from Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 181. Also from the greatest of the narrators of hadith and from our salaf as-salih, those who we are asking to be like and that we want to be like. He mentioned, he says, al-adabu kada al-adabu an yakuna thuruthay al-ilm. Kada al-adabu an yakuna thuruthay al-ilm. He says, etiquettes. It's almost to the extent that etiquettes are 2/3 of knowledge. Etiquettes, manners, are 2/3 of knowledge. Meaning the other third is knowledge. The other, if knowledge was a whole like this, 2/3 of it is manners. Or 2/3 of it like this is manners. The other third is the knowledge actually. So they used to be just as concerned with learning the knowledge, or more concerned as they were with learning the knowledge, they were likewise concerned with learning the manners and the etiquettes of knowledge. Learning the manners and the etiquettes of knowledge. Likewise, it's been narrated by the same Imam Ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he said, نَحْنُ إِلَى قَلِيلٍ مِنَ الْأَدِبِ أَحْوَجُ مِنَّا إِلَى كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And he's talking about him, and he says, we, and he meaning our times, 181. How many years ago? Well over 1,000. Well over 1,200 approximately. Naam, he says, نَحْنُ we, meaning in his time. نَحْنُ إِلَى قَلِيلٍ مِنَ الْأَدَبِ. We are in need of just a little bit of manners, more than we are in need of a lot of knowledge. أَحْوَجُ مِنَّا إِلَى كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. We're in need of just a little bit of manners, more than we are in need of a lot of knowledge. This is because, barakallahu fikum, وَزَادَكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِي. That if a person, he gains the knowledge, if he does not know the etiquettes of this knowledge, he can harm himself. If a person gains the knowledge and he does not know the etiquettes of the knowledge, then he can harm others. If he learns the knowledge and he does not learn the etiquettes of the knowledge and the etiquettes of the people of the knowledge, it can be a fitna for him and a fitna for the Muslims. And his knowledge will be a fitna for him. Naam, his knowledge will be a fitna for him, and it will be a fitna for those who come in confrontation with him. The knowledge can be a means for him, for his destruction. He could be amazed by his knowledge. He could become envious because of his knowledge. He could become big-headed, and then he will be afraid to speak, to say, I don't know. So he will speak without knowledge. And the likes like this. So there's many aspects of the knowledge that if a person doesn't learn the proper manners and etiquettes, it can be a calamity for him and likewise for the community that he is in and the people that he comes in contact with. For the people that he comes in contact with. Ibn Sirin, Muhammad Ibn Sirin, he died in the year 110. Naam, he's from the first of those to speak about narrators and to declare them authentic or unauthentic or weak or the likes like this, or say that you should take from this one or that one. What is he mentioning? Ibn Sirin, Muhammad Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, كانوا يتعلمون الهدي. كانوا يتعلمون الهدي كما يتعلمون العلم. He said they used to, speaking about his mashayikh, and he learned from, he's learning from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu and the likes of him. So, كانوا يتعلمون الهدي, and they used to learn the guidance and the manners and the conduct, الهدي. Not huda, huda is guidance, but الهدي is like the manners and conduct and the way that a person deals with the people and his akhlaq and his adab and his demeanor. They used to learn this, كما يتعلمون العلم, the same way they learn knowledge. The same way they memorize a hadith or memorize an ayat or they memorize ahkam and shari'ah, they'll memorize and learn the manners and the etiquettes. The same way, they had great concern with this. So we see that this is the way of the Salaf al-Salih. That this is from their way that they considered adab and akhlaq to be from the greatest parts of deen. And from the deen and from the greatest parts of knowledge, excuse me. This is the case. And the thing about them is that they learn this knowledge for the purpose that it was revealed for, and that is to be applied. And this is understood that this is from the greatest manners of the knowledge is that it is applied. From the greatest etiquettes of knowledge is that it is used and it is applied, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see likewise that Hassan al-Basri, he died in the same year that Muhammad ibn Sirin died. Which year was that? 110. Now, 110. He died in the year 110. Al-Hasan al-Basri. Rahim Allah ta'ala, he mentioned, it's a famous narration, but he mentioned, كان الرجل يطلب العلم فلم يلبث أن يرى ذلك في تقشعه وهديه ولسانه ويده. Now he said an individual, a man, he would begin to seek knowledge. And one area, يطلب هذا الحديث, he would seek the knowledge of this hadith. A man in their time. He's talking about the students of knowledge in their time. He would begin seeking knowledge. He would begin learning about narrations. He would begin learning about ayat. He would begin learning about aqidah. He would begin learning about fiqh. Naam, and what would happen? And it would not be long. فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ يُرَى ذَلِكَ. It would not be long and you would see that في تخشعه, in his humbleness. Huh? And في هديه, in his manner, and his demeanor, and his etiquettes, and in his tongue, and in his hand. Meaning that the issue with them, that if they sought this knowledge, it would be a very short time after that, you would see that it changed his life. You would see that he would apply that knowledge. He learned that this statement is haram no more, he would guard his tongue from it. It's haram, he would not say it no more, and he would guard his tongue from it. He learned that this action is not permissible, it's haram, then he would leave it off, he wouldn't do it no more. You would find that this action is good, you will find them advancing to do it and hastening to do it. Like this. لَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ يُرَى ذَلِكَ فِي تَخَشُّرِهِ. And also فِي صَلَاتِهِ, also in his prayer. They would apply it immediately. They would learn something from the deen and they would apply it. They would learn something from the deen and they would apply it. And this is the case. And we see, and from the great calamities that is happening today, that we see that some of the people, and they might be considered طُلَاب الْعِلْمِ, and students of knowledge. But then if you look at them and their manners and the conduct and the way they deal with the people, it's not any difference from somebody that's from the awam. And even sometimes you might find that the awam are better than him. And he's seeking knowledge. You say he's been in this place seeking knowledge for this long, and then he comes back and you don't see the traces of the knowledge on him and in his speech and in his actions and the likes like this. And rather some of the people who never sought knowledge in their life, they have better manners and they have better conduct and their ibadah is better and their sincerity and their truthfulness and honesty is more apparent than some of the people who have busied themselves with knowledge for years, or maybe set at the hands of some certain ulama. But then if they did not give enough attention to this aspect of the etiquettes of the knowledge and the akhlaq al-ulama, the adab tulab al-ilm, then you will find that this is what was the problem, and this is where the weakness is, and this is what has caused that knowledge to not be as effective for that individual. He is not able to apply it in the right way because he lacked the knowledge of the etiquettes of knowledge. The knowledge of the etiquettes of knowledge and the etiquettes of the people of knowledge. So the Quran, we see, it is a book of knowledge and it is a book of manners. And the deen of Islam is the deen of manners. And even al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked about the manners of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahih Muslim. Su'ilat Aisha radiallahu anha, kayfa kana khuluka an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How was the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This was asked to the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And she responded and she said, radiallahu anha, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His manners was the Qur'an. His manners were the Qur'an. Meaning that if there was a commandment, he would comply to it. If there was a prohibition, he would stay away from it. If there was something that Allah had encouraged to do, he would be the first to do it. If there was something that Allah he has discouraged to do, he would be the first to leave it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَانَ يَمْتَثِلُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He's the first one to comply to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is how the Qur'an was his manners, or his manners was the Qur'an. So now, the book that we want to study, أَخْلَاقْ حَمَلَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, those who are carrying this book. And every Muslim, he shares in a portion of that, of being a carrier of the Qur'an. Every Muslim is sharing in a portion of that, being a carrier of the Qur'an. كُلُّ مُسْلِمْ يَحْمِلُ شَيْئًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And this is obligatory to at least carry enough that his salat is correct, even if it's just the Fatiha. But we know that the Fatiha is the greatest surah of the Qur'an, and all of the meanings of the Qur'an return back to the Fatiha. So carrying the Fatiha in your heart and your chest, this is a great blessing. This is not something light. لَيْسَ فِي الدِّينِ شَيْءٌ خَفِيفٌ. There's nothing in the religion that is light. So a person who is carrying this Qur'an, كَلَامُ اللَّهِ كَلَامُ الْبَارِي سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, in his heart, he should not be acting like those who are not carrying in his heart. The one who knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and the sustainer, and he's the one who sends the rain, and he's the one who gives life and gives death subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that everything is returning back to him, and that we will be asked about our actions and our deeds, he should not be acting like the people who don't know that. Naam? هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The answer? Of course they don't. لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Naam? Are the people who know like the people who don't know? And are the people who know that there is a creator who has created him and created the eyes in his head and the hands that he uses, and that that creator has created angels that are taking his deeds, and that he will stand before his creator and be held accountable. Is he the one who knows this like the one who doesn't know this? لا يستوون. They're not equal. They're not equal. So the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised with this knowledge and raised with this book, he should not act like the way the people who don't have it. The people who are not carrying this knowledge, they're not carrying this revelation, they're not carrying this deen in their heart. Naam, so the manners are very important. Etiquettes are very important. This is to the extent that likewise, I have another narration from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala that he has mentioned that he says, وَأَدَبُ الْمَرْءِ عُنْوَانُ سَعَادَتِهِ وَفَلَاحِهِ. أدب المرء عنوان سعادته وفلاحه. That the manners of an individual, this is an important statement, the manners of an individual, this is the embodiment of his happiness and his success. A person's manners, this is the embodiment of his happiness and his success. And he says, وَقِلَّةُ أَدَبِهِ عُنْوَانُ شِقَاوَتِهِ وَبَوَارِهِ. And the fact that an individual, he has few manners, his manners are little, he doesn't have a lot of good manners, this is the embodiment or the true sign of his misery, that he's miserable and that he's wretched in his ruin. Now, he says, فَمَا اسْتُجْرِبَ خَيْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَى بِمِثْلِ الْأَدَبِ وَلَا اسْتُجْرِبَ حِرْمَانُهُمَا بِمِثْلِ قِلَّةِ الْأَدَبِ. He said, the good of this life and the hereafter has not been gained or brought about by anything better than good manners. And likewise, the failure in this life and in the hereafter has not been brought about except by having few manners, having little manners, like not having good manners, and the likes like this. So it's very important that a person, he will be diligent to learn the etiquettes and the manners of Islam, and the manners and the etiquettes of the deen. We continue the brief introduction before we begin the book, inshallah. From the statements of our salaf. Likewise, with regards to manners and the reality of conduct and etiquettes, it's been likewise been narrated that Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned haqiqatu husn al-khuluq. Haqiqatu husn al-khuluq, the reality of good manners. Like if we want to have a definition, we talk about good manners. What is the reality of that? So that I can know, I can try to bring about these manners in myself. He says, badhlu al-ma'roof wa kafu al-adha وطلاقته الوجه. He said that Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he summarized it, بَذْلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ, to give the good. And any good you have to give to the people, giving it to the people, whether it's with your manners and your speech and your dealings, whether it's with your wealth, like this, any your help, you help somebody, like this, all of this is from good manners. And then he also mentioned, he says, وَكَفِّ الْأَذَى, also to not harm people. This is from the good manners, to not harm others, to not harm them. Sometimes people think harming only with the hand. Sometimes the tongue will harm even more. Or the way that a person may deal with somebody. This can harm a person even more and cause his mind to really think and wonder, why did he treat me like that? What's going on? Like this. Or it would hurt his heart. And to bring sorrow or grief to a believer, this is not a good thing. Rather, it's from the good deeds that one would make a believer happy. And that he would yudkhil as-surur fi qalbi akhihi, that he would bring happiness into the heart of his brother. This is something that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then to not harm somebody, not with the hand, not with the actions, not with the manners, not with the wealth, not with anything. Al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, talaqatul wajh al-bishr, that he would smile. That the person, whenever he meets his brothers, he will smile. And he would have a happy face. Even, for example, if the person maybe is having a bad day, but whenever he meets the brothers, then he would smile at them, and he would be happy with them, and he would deal with them in the best manner. All of this is from the good manners. And that he would not, somebody, how are you doing, and just leave like this. Or, or shake your hand real hard and like this. Not you be gentle with the brother. You will be calm with him. There's a general any hadith that'll help us to be having good manners with our brothers all the time, and that is لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Hadith man. Who's hadith? Who narrated the hadith? Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Naam. That not one of you truly believes, and his iman is not complete. He's not a complete believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So the same way that you deal with a brother, or that you would love for your brother to deal with you, or that you would love for your neighbor to deal with you, or that one would love for his wife to deal with him, or opposite, or that he would love for his children to deal with him, then he would deal with them the same way. He would deal with him the same way like this. And likewise, what he disliked for them, then he would not like that for them either. He would not like that for them either. So we see that يعني, having the manners, this is from the deen, rather the whole deen is manners. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily you are upon a high state of manners. كما قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عنهما أي على دين عظيم. Meaning على دين عظيم. There's manners whenever we sleep. Adab. Whenever we eat. Adab. Whenever we pray. Adab. Whenever we ride an animal. Adab. Whenever we sit down. Adab. Whenever we're walking, there's adab. Whenever we enter the home, whenever we leave the home, whenever we enter the restroom, akramukum Allah jami'an. Adab, adab, adab. Naam, even in the manner that we believe and make dua, adab. That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's adab, adab al-dua. And everything this deen has given us, alhamdulillah, adab. Adab and etiquettes in a manner that one should perform these things. So the religion is the religion of adab. And this particular book, Akhlaq Hamalat al-Qur'an, the adab of those who carry, are carrying the Qur'an. The akhlaq of those who are carrying the Qur'an. So this is particularly for, it's specifically for those who are memorizing the Qur'an. And those who are hoping to be reciters of the Qur'an, those who are busying themselves with the recitation of the Qur'an and the memorization of the Qur'an, this book specifically is very important. For the brothers and the sisters likewise to pay attention to. So the ones who are involved in the memorization of the Quran and often reciting the Quran, all Muslims should be, but some people they are more involved. Alhamdulillah, from the grace of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, those brothers and sisters they should pay more attention. This book right here is very beneficial with regards to the details of how a person of Quran should act and carry himself, what he should do, and the likes like this, and how he should, his manners and etiquette should be. But likewise, even if somebody is not busying themselves with memorization of the Quran, even if they just memorize a few chapters or the likes like this, this is also equally important. Equally important for every Muslim to understand the manners and the etiquettes of the Quran. And of the people of the Quran. Inshallah, because the time is short, we stop here tonight, and tomorrow we begin reading directly from the book. And for those who are following along in the book, whoever or for any of the brothers and sisters that are looking for the PDF, we have the PDF available that you can follow along on your phone or on your iPad or the likes like this. You can print it from there, or there are other means also to get it, to have the actual copy of the text. And this is, as far as I know, this is one of the best tahqiqat or checkings of the book. It has several prints. This is one of the best ones. Anybody who's interested, we can find. I can get them, inshallah, the PDF. So we will begin tomorrow after, inshallah ta'ala, from the beginning. After the author or the narrators mentioned their chain, right at the beginning of the statement of the author, whenever he says, "Rahimahullah Taala, أحق ما استفتح به كلام الكلام الحمد لمولانا الكريم الحمد لمولانا الكريم أحق ما استفتح به الكلام الحمد لمولانا الكريم." At this part right here, inshallah, we will begin tomorrow. بإذن الله تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.